And let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, just completely dependent on you for everything that we have, Lord, and everything that we need. It's all in your hands, God. And so this morning we ask you to meet the needs of your people. God, I ask you that you would anoint me, that you would breathe on this word, Lord, and that it would become meaningful to each and every person here. We thank you, God, for your presence, and we ask you for more. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to begin to read Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And I think even just that's enough to begin with. Because it's so easy to lose heart. And in the King James Version, which I know many of you read, it says not to faint. It's so easy to lose heart when we're praying and we don't see an answer right away. This word also could mean don't be afraid. And many times when we're praying and we don't see answers and we still feel things in our body or we still see situations not getting any better or we're not sure what the future is, it's so easy to become afraid. It's so easy to lose heart. It's so easy to become tired. Tired of praying the same prayers over and over. Have you been there where it seems like yesterday's prayer is very close to today's prayer and a week ago's prayer was very similar, and sometimes you say, I don't even know the words that are different, Lord. I just keep praying, but they all seem the same, and I'm not seeing anything happen. And it's so easy to just lose heart. It's so easy to faint in these seasons where God is in his wisdom is just delaying things just a little bit, or maybe even a long time. Because the needs are real and we see them. And so we wonder, are my prayers being effective at all? Are they going anywhere beyond the ceiling? Is anyone hearing me? And this parable is for you, if that is you, if you've been in that case. If you've been there where you're wondering what's happening. And maybe you're getting tired of praying the same thing over and over. The Bible says don't lose heart. And he tells us why. So he goes on to tell a parable in verse 2. It says, saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. So this woman, she has a problem. We don't know what the problem is, but it's a problem. And it's clear that the problem is with her adversary. The adversary of this woman is causing her some problem. And we have an adversary as well. We have somebody that causes all kinds of problems in our lives as well. Day to day, we could look around and we can see, yes, this is something that is not of God. This is something that our adversary has put in our lives. The Bible tells us in James 10:10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says he came to give life and life more abundantly. So we look around in our lives and we say, is there something that is being destroyed? Is there something that has been stolen from us? Is there something that is being killed in our lives? It might be your dreams. Maybe your dreams, the dreams and the promises that God has given to each one of you, maybe over time because of the delays, they become killed in your heart. And you find it hard to hold on. If God has given you something, he will bring it to pass. Relationships many times get destroyed for one reason or another. They come and over little offenses, all of a sudden they turn into big things, and something that might have started small now is big and it lasts for years. Relationships could get destroyed. Our enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have an adversary just as this widow had an adversary. Sometimes hope. Sometimes our hope just gets a little faint. It gets a little weary. We don't know how to go on through the next day with the same positive attitude and hope in God as we did yesterday. And sometimes it's even something like opportunities that the devil just steals away from you. Well, it was an open door, but it closed. Maybe you hesitated, and the opportunity is gone. That little hesitation sometimes just steals away the opportunity. And we have an adversary, and we blame the adversary for what he is doing. And so she comes to a judge, and she says, "Get justice for me. Get justice for me." She knows that this judge is all-powerful in her case. She knows that the judge has the ability to right the wrong in her life. So she comes to the judge, and we have a judge as well. And our judge has all power, and he has all authority. In our modern day, he has all jurisdiction. It's not like a judge here doesn't have authority in another country. But our judge, he has authority anywhere you go and everywhere you go. Our judge has the ability to make rulings wherever he is and wherever you are and in whatever matter. It's not like he's just a traffic court judge. He's a judge that has all authority. It's not like going to an appellate court. We go to the Supreme Court. And by supreme, I mean supreme. Not just supreme in the U.S., supreme in the heavens and the earth. We have a judge that we can go to. And we could say, "Get justice for me from my adversary. Because my adversary has come and he's stolen something from me. He's destroyed something from me. He's trying to kill something in my life. Get justice for me." And we see that it's a widow. A widow, and back in those days, they didn't have 401ks. They didn't have retirement plans. They didn't have annuities. They didn't have all these things to depend on. If you were a widow back then, you were in a very vulnerable state. So we see that this person is in a very vulnerable state. She does not have the ability to exact justice for herself. So she goes to the judge and she says, "Get justice for me." And in that, she's saying, "Something has been done to me. Something wrong has been done to me. Somebody, something, circumstances are wrong in my life, and I need somebody to help me change them." And we could look around in our lives, and we know that suffering is a part of life. We can't get away from it. We can't deny it. We know that our bodies are only mortal, and so things will happen. But there is some time when we look around and we say, "This can't be right. This can't be right. There's something that's wrong here. This can't be right." And she goes to the judge and she's effectively saying, "This ain't right, judge. Something has come up. Something has come up. My adversary has taken something from me. It's not right." And we can go to God and we could say, "This isn't right either, God. Something is wrong. Our adversary has come in. He's taken things away from me. Get justice for me. Bring justice back into my life." So justice, what is justice for a broken relationship? Justice for a broken relationship is one that is restored. Justice for missed opportunities is open doors for you. Justice for sicknesses is health. Justice is what we can go to our judge and say, we want justice, Lord. Is it right? Is it right that I should be in this case? Is it right that my boss should be treating me like this? Is it right that these things have come in my life? Is it right? And so she goes to the judge and she says, is it right? Get justice for me. And in verse 4, he says, the parable continues and he says, and he would not, the judge would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So in his thinking, he delays for a while. He delays for a little bit. And we've seen that. There probably isn't one of us here that can say that we haven't gone to God with something that's urgent and we see a delay. And if you've not seen that, I have a prayer list for you. Take mine. Pray all my prayers. Get your answers. If we haven't seen that, certainly we will in the future, because God is working something out in our lives in this delay. God is working out things in our lives because God is often more concerned with our character than our comfort. We're usually more concerned about our comfort than our character, but God does it the other way around. He is more concerned about character than comfort. And often in these delays, we see what we're made of. We see the things that are inside of us. They come to the surface. When nothing is going wrong, everything looks good and everything is easy. No struggles, no problem. But when there's a struggle, when there's something that we need from the judge, then we see what we're made of. We're tested and we understand what we're made of. And so we go to the judge, just like Abraham did when he was pleading for Sodom and Gomorrah. He even says, shall not the judge of the whole earth do what's right? Shall not the judge of the whole earth do what's right? Of course he will. But sometimes it takes a little time. Sometimes it takes more time than we would care to have it take. But listen to what the judge says in verse 5. He says, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. The King James says avenge. NIV says something different. But the King James also says avenge her. Avenge is such a strange word to be in this case. But it tells us something about God. Because it says, I will avenge her. Avenge means more than rectify the wrong. Avenge means more than just restore what's been stolen, restore what's been destroyed, restore what's been killed. It means more than that. Avenge has a meaning in there of getting back at the enemy. Avenge has a meaning of getting back at the one who has caused the trouble in the first place. It's not like, have you ever seen a parent dealing with two kids and one kid takes away another one and the one who had it taken away, they start crying, Mama. And then the mom swoops in and just rips the toy out of the kid's hands and hands it to the other one. That's justice. Because now the kid he's been restored. He's been restored. He's got his toy back. The mom has come in and given justice. But avenge means more than just getting justice. It means doing something to the enemy. It means doing something to the one who caused the injustice in the first place. We could see this In the death of Jesus, the enemy came against Jesus, crucified him cruelly. But then in Colossians, it said that he disarmed principalities and powers. In one version of the Bible, it says he put them to an open shame. He put them to an open shame. Made a public spectacle of him in another version. You see, that's vengeance. That's avenging the wrong. That's avenging the wrong, and that is what our judge is able to do. That is what our judge is able to do for us when we are wronged and we come to him and say, "Is this right, what I'm going through?" Avenge. Avenge. It's very different than just getting justice. And it says, "You will, by her continual coming, she will weary me." And in verse 6 it says, Then the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" He's saying, you see, the unjust judge will do this. But God is the just judge, the judge of all the earth. And he will avenge us. He will avenge us because we are his elect. We're not just some widow that's pestering a judge. We are his elect. We are his children. We are the ones that he loves. We are the ones that he died for. We are special to him. And when we go to him, even though there might be a delay, he says, "I will avenge those things that you call to me about, that you ask me about. I will avenge them." Just like Job in his life, many things happened to him, but it wasn't just a restoration of what was taken away. More was added to him. This is God's pattern in the Bible. This is God's pattern. I had a friend. You might disagree with this mentality, but he was radical. When sickness would come into his house, like for one of his kids, after he would pray for the child, he would say, "This is from the devil," all the time. And he would tell his wife, "You know what I'm going to do?" He said, "I'm going to go out and I'm not coming back until the Lord uses me to lead somebody to salvation. I'm going to go out. If the devil's going to come against my house, I'm going to go out and I'm going to come against his kingdom. I'm going to go out and I'm going to take his kingdom down a notch as well." It was a fight for him. Now, you might not agree with that parenting style. It's not for everybody. I've never seen it in a book. I doubt if I ever will. But it's a story of I want to avenge what the enemy has done to us. The same attitude that Jesus Christ shows throughout the Bible. He will avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night. Day and night, this means don't stop. This means when you think about it, when you feel the pain, call out. When your memory goes back to the situation, it doesn't matter what you're doing, call out to God. It doesn't matter if you're just about ready to go to sleep. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed myself to sleep. But I do know it's pretty much almost every single day in the last 18 months. Almost every single day. Day and night, night and day, crying out to God, seems to have some passion behind it. God knows what's in our heart. He knows the passions of our heart. And I know passion is expressed in many different ways for many different people. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other. You know the passions of your heart. And the interesting thing about this is God says, for my own elect, I'm going to avenge them. It seems like he's personally involved in this now. He's personally taking this personal. If this is my elect, somebody's done something wrong to them, well, just let me at them. You know what? I got to come down off this judge's bench and I'm going to go in there. He's personally involved. He's taking this very personally. Doesn't the Bible say that when someone touches us, it's like touching the apple of his eye? Personally involved. When Saul was persecuting Christians and putting them to death, on the road to Damascus, a bright light shines down on Saul, knocks him off his horse, and then all of a sudden, a voice comes and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? Well, he wasn't persecuting God. He wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting people just like you and me. But God made it so personal. He said, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting them? Why are you persecuting these Israelites? Why are you persecuting? It was, why are you persecuting me? Because he was personally involved in the injustice that was going on in Saul's life and in the lives of all those people that were being persecuted. When there was sin in the world, Jesus became personally involved. He wasn't content just giving a ruling from heaven. He wasn't content just speaking the word and having it done. He actually came down because he gets personally involved in our situations. And he takes it as if the thing was happening to him. Because remember, we're his body. He's the head, but we are the body. So even in that comparison, we see that we are part of who he is. He is part of us. So when something is done wrong, remember he even tells it to Abraham, those who curse you will be cursed. You know, I'm going to get those who go after you. I'm going to go get those who go after you. Those who bless you, yes, they'll be blessed because I'll bless them. Personally involved in what's going on. But it takes persistent coming. We see many phrases and many words which tell us persistence is what is needed. Not growing tired, not growing faint. It says that she comes continually. And it says that he doesn't do it for a while, so she continuously comes. She's continuing, day and night, coming and over again. And it says he bears long with them. And I wonder many times if the bearing long is because he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to get the thing that he's trying to work out in our lives. And if you see a child struggling with something, many times you just want to help them. You just want to help them, but it might not be the best thing for them because if you do everything for them, then they'll never learn for themselves. And many times I think this is the way God works with us. He wants to come down and help. He wants to swoop in and right all the wrongs right away. But if he does it too soon, we don't learn what he wants us to learn. This is not the case for, this is not the situation for every case. But in some cases, it certainly is. He bears long with them. And in verse 8, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He said, I will avenge them speedily. But in the context of everything, I don't believe that means that he's going to do it quickly, because we already know that he's delaying. But when the vengeance comes, he could turn things around on a dime. When the vengeance comes, when the correction comes, when he finally gives justice, it could happen overnight. It could happen very quickly. It could happen speedily. It could happen where all of a sudden the ruling comes down, and that changes everything. Because God could avenge speedily. But it says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Nevertheless means even if it doesn't happen right away, even if it takes a little bit of time, even if there's a process that has to be worked through to get your justice, he says, nevertheless, you keep having faith. You keep having faith that the judge of all the earth will do right. You keep having faith. Nevertheless, even if something doesn't happen tomorrow, even if something doesn't happen next week, even if you just see a little sign here, but it doesn't completely turn around, nevertheless, you have faith. Because he says, will he really find faith on the earth? What a question. Because when we think of faith, what we think of is we think of like Elijah-like faith, where we could pray and call down fire from heaven on our enemies, and we know everybody's just a smoldering little pile of ash. We want that kind of faith. We want faith where we pray today and we see an instant miracle. Yes, we all want it. We need that kind of faith to be seen in our lives. But he's talking about something else. You don't hear about this kind of faith too often. The kind of faith that actually endures. The kind of faith that actually persists. The kind of faith that keeps continuing, even though we don't see an answer. We want the Elijah type of faith. We want Moses type of faith. We want that kind of faith that just will see changes all around us. Who wants the kind of faith that says, okay, I'll wait and I'll keep believing and I'll keep believing and I'll keep believing, even though I'm saying the same prayers over and over and it looks like nothing is changing? I'm going to keep believing. This is the kind of faith that he says, is he going to find it on the earth? Is he going to find this kind of faith? The kind of faith that will struggle through and persist and endure and not give up and not faint and not become afraid and not become discouraged. We all want the other kind of faith. But in this parable, he's saying, is he really going to find this kind of faith when he comes? Is he really going to find this kind of faith? Is anybody going to persist even though it looks like nothing is happening? We have things in our life too, which we believe God has promised us. We haven't seen them for years. And our saying in our house is, if we die without seeing it, I'll die believing that he's able to do it. You remember Abraham? He was promised a great nation. But what did he end up with? He ended up with a child. Not a great nation. He's seen it afar off. He didn't see it in his life, but he's seen it afar off. Faith of that sort is different. And this is the faith that God is looking for in us. This is the kind of faith that God is looking for. And so the question is there some injustice that you can see in your life? Is there something that the devil has come in and he's trying to destroy and he's trying to kill and he's trying to steal? Is there some injustice in your life that you can cry out to the judge of all the earth and say, right this wrong for me. Give me justice from my enemy. Is there something in your life like that? If there is, I'd like to just say a prayer for those people right now. I'd just like to bow our heads. I will pray afterwards too. But in this moment, I'd just like to pray a prayer for you if this is you. Not knowing your specific need, that's okay. God knows it. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you. We come to the judge of all the earth. And we ask you, Father, for justice in our case. You see how our adversary has come in. You see how he's trying to destroy, how he's trying to discourage, how he's trying to make us afraid, Lord, how he's trying to kill dreams and kill opportunities. And I ask you, Father, that you would give justice, that you would bring justice in the lives of your people. Lord, that we would see it speedily, that we would see things turn around, and that we would have the endurance to endure even if you delay, Lord. That you would give us faith to believe and never to doubt. And Lord, we ask you this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. May his name be praised.